Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Min, and I'm your co-host with Debbie from the office at NDIS Property Australia. And you listen to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. Debbie, how are you?
Hello, Min. I'm good.
We have an email from a client or prospective client, Paul, who emailed us a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, asked a few questions, and I and Debbie have had a few emails with him just to gauge his thoughts on the understanding of NDIS, SDA, and what he's thinking overall. And what are your thoughts, Debbie?
Yeah, look, I think that this guy's a very experienced investor, very much been in the real estate world for quite some time, has not yet delved into SDA, but very interested in doing so. He has done a lot of research, so he really knows his stuff. But he had some queries and concerns regarding predominantly his financial situation.
Oh.
Do you want me to read the original message from him?
The original message, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very interested, but I'm not sure I'm in a position to do anything as yet, as I don't think I'd be able to secure funding, so I don't want to waste anyone's time. We have a lot of equity in our home, but at present I make only investment income, so I don't think I'd be able to get loan approval. We'll be selling our home sometime in 2025, and I'll be looking to do something then. At present, I'm learning as much as I can watching your YouTube channel and listening to podcasts. Given the above, I'm happy to book a strategy call.
And then I sent him an email saying, look, we'd love to do a podcast topic about your situation, myself and Debbie, but we'd like to know a bit more, like what's your age, what's your job status, do you have anything in superannuation, or is it the value and also the structure, your reason for selling your home in 2025, what interests you in the NDIS world of property? What are your debts? What's your current income and your dependents? And I said to him, look, these answers will help us formalize a bit of a general advice pertaining to his situation to help him get into the NDIS market for SDA. That was the reason why we would love to go from there. So, Debbie, do you want to perhaps read some of this these answers to these questions?
Yeah. Yes. So he and his wife are both 58. He does not have a job. He makes his living from share investing and trading over the last 4 years. He has minimal super, less than 20,000. His trading strategies are relatively high turnover and therefore cannot be used within the super system. He follows the 18-year real estate cycle and believes that there'll be a strong run-up to prices in the last 2 years of the cycle towards the peak in 2026, so he wants to sell into that strength, not looking to buy principal residence again until the cycle low of 2030, so looking to just rent. His home is very big on a 3-acre block and becoming too much to maintain. He also wants to realise funds for an investment property, hence he's looking at NDIS and share trading. Home is valued at approximately $6 million with a mortgage of just under $740,000. Has another investment house or another house valued at approximately $350,000 with no mortgage that he'll be spending some time there, but living there as well as in something smaller that they'll rent in the interim. What interests you in NDIS property? We asked him. He has said high yield and inflation indexing means less reliance on capital growth for borrowing to make sense. High yield should also insulate NDIS properties from significant market falls, which often occur at the end of cycle. Concern over possible negative gearing changes. These almost became reality had Bill Shorten been elected in 2016 and could again given the difficulty for many people to be able to buy a home and the perceived unfairness of having to compete against investors. NDIS properties would almost certainly be exempt due to government need for these properties to be built. The fact that they are new builds should also see them as insulated from any changes to negative gearing concessions, as they meet the criteria of adding to the supply of new housing, which was the whole reason for negative gearing in the first place. The attraction of long-term leases and the unlikelihood of tenants wanting to move once they have a home like they like. Several NDIS promoters have mentioned the desire for NDIS participants to have a forever home. As an investor, this is very attractive. Stability of cash flow. Share trading can be very profitable, but it's often feast or famine, as I've experienced in the last 2 years. I'm looking at NDIS properties as being able to meet all our income needs and share trading profits to be applied at reducing debt before purchasing more NDIS properties. The majority of income paid by the government and the fact that the property has the potential to earn these returns for up to 20 years. His income, hasn't had income for the last 2 years apart from dividends, but this would be probably less than about $10,000 as he trades rather than invests long-term as a trader. You make your living from capital gains, but trading losses have unfortunately been the norm over this period rather than profits, as the Australian market has basically been range-bound and gone sideways for the whole period. Currently, we have approximately $730 in cash and shares. We also asked about his dependents. He has a wife, two children in their early 20s. One is independent, one is at uni, staying at home.
So wow.
Those were Paul's answers. Great answers, Paul. A lot of information there.
So, Paul, thank you for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate people who reach out to us and let us know how we're going. We only try to do our best in terms of giving some education, some advice. And in this case, we would love to give you some advice here because you are a little bit different from the norm. You have a very good understanding of the SDA world and you are in a financially healthy position to be able to do some multiple deals in SDA over the coming few years. Now, the things I like about your situation are your desire to sell down your $6 million house, which has kind of $740,000 debt against it, which is okay because you have $730,000 in cash and shares as well, which neutralizes the debt anyway. Your kids are mostly growing up. You're older. Yeah, I really like your financial situation here. I don't think your lack of a job or debt servicing should be a deterrent from you entering the SDA market because we have clients who are taking 1-2 years to build or obtain an SDA property. Buying off the plan is normal. And I think right now, given your age, I think you should really consider, particularly also, Paul, using your superannuation SMSF superannuation as a trust or a structure for you to utilize for your strategy moving forward. So there's a few things here: tax, superannuation, retirement, debt being paid off, utilizing your cash and shares surplus funds to be used to obtain more assets. And also, if you were to sell your house in 2 years' time or 2025, what are going to be used with the proceeds? And as you say, you're using those funds to build a portfolio of SDAs. So, Debbie, you spoke to Paul last week. Do you recall what you spoke about here with him?
We mainly just discussed everything about SDA. Paul is very knowledgeable. He's been spending quite a bit of time researching it. So he has a really good understanding of how it works when it comes to getting tenants, working with the providers, the long term, the short term. So he's really done his homework.
Mm.
And that was mainly what we talked about in terms of the long-term financial strategy. That's more your area. So that's really why we're doing this. But yeah, I just made sure that Paul understood what it was all about, which he certainly does, and the fact that we could definitely help him find out more about his options.
Okay. So this is what I'm going to recommend you do, right? Paul, this is just me just barely giving any thought to this. I'm just going to wing it here. And here I go. Please take this advice to your accountant and your financial advisor to confirm what I'm about to say, because I used to be a financial advisor. So we'll do two or three things here in theory. I think what I'll say, Debbie, is I think, okay? I used to be a financial advisor and I gave up the career about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. But anyway, look, your 20 grand in superannuation, we're going to increase. I would say to you, increase your super balance. Create an SMSF fund with you and your wife as trustees, with your kids and yourself as beneficiaries. Start dripping in money from your cash and shares that you have at the moment into your superannuation fund. Superannuation environment is like a trust. It will be minimal income tax and minimal, if zero, capital gains tax. So any income you generate inside superannuation environment will be 15% income tax, which is far lower than any income tax you'd be paying outside of super. If you had an SDA house to your name, you'd be paying close to at least 42%, maybe 45% income tax per year. So 15% income tax is the way to go inside superannuation. Now, how do you beef up your superannuation balance? Sell down the cash and shares, or transfer cash into super and sell down shares and put into super and rebuy it if you want. You may trigger some costs for selling those shares outside super and bring them in, but it's a small price to pay. Because when you sell down assets inside the superannuation environment in the future, when you are of retirement age at 65 onwards, that will be CGT free, capital gains tax free. So you're better off biting the bullet now and transferring your shares into superannuation, okay? Right now, I don't know how much cash versus shares you have, so just move the whole lot in. Of your $738,000, maybe transfer $500,000 into super. So leave outside $238,000 in cash in the bank, if that's the amount you have, and transfer the rest inside superannuation. So that's step number one. Step number two is plan your exit of your house. So you got a $6 million house here. Well, there's two parts here. Either wait to sell it at the peak, whatever you think the peak is, best price, the exit, and then start transferring money in terms of UDC, undeducted contributions, from your sell down of your house into your superannuation environment, the SMSF. Now, there'll be limits to your transfer of funds, probably $150,000 per year per person, you and your wife, I think, is my answer. I don't know the exact numbers, but assuming $150,000. So this year being 2023-24, $150,000 each. And then in 25, $150,000 each. So that's $150,000, that's $300,000. $300,000, $600,000 plus the other $500,000. So you have $1.1 million in super by the time 2025 rolls around, okay? And so therefore, if you pull down $300,000, so actually do a redraw facility if you can. Draw out $300,000 from your equity of your house and then put into superannuation straight away in this year and next financial year. So that way you end up with $1.1 million in superannuation in about 2 years' time, which means your debt will be $738 and $300 and $300. So you have a mortgage of about $1.3 million, okay? But you're selling your house, as you say, $6 million sold down in 2 years' time. And let's assume there's no more capital growth, just $6 million flat. $6 million minus $1.3 is $4.7. So you'll have $4.7 million in cash in 2 years' time, debt-free. And they'll be tax-free as well, because it's a principal place of residence, PPOR, as per the tax laws. So of your $4.7 million cash you have and $1.3 million in superannuation, they are your funds to set up yourself for life inside, or super for retirement. So in that case there, you will be buying probably two SDA properties in the future, or now, in now-ish, or next year, prior to your house is sold. And you also have $4.7 million in cash in 2 years' time as well. So you say Debbie, does this say he's okay to not buy any more houses for himself, to live in this smaller house? Another house of $340,000.
Looking to not buy anything probably until 2030.
Okay, cool. So leave $1 million or $2 million in cash in the bank as emergency, live in this little house down over here, whatever you want, spend time there, rent somewhere else. Buy two or three properties inside superannuation, SMSF, with your cash there ready. And you still have $2.7 million spare to be spent on maybe two, if not three, SDAs there outside super. So you can do, I would do two outside super SDAs and three inside super SDAs. They'll give you five SDA properties for the rest of your life. Five paying you average of 150 gross, 160 gross a year. 120 net, 120 net income per year, net of costs times five is $600,000 a year cash flow. If most of that is inside super, it's minimal tax. Okay. So there you are. Five SDA houses, SDA properties, three inside super, two outside super, bit of cash on side, outside, and there you are. You have a SMSF environment where most of your assets, which are growing in value and creating income, are almost tax-free. Almost. Okay. Talk to your accountant and your financial advisor, do a financial plan, statement of advice, and just see how it all extrapolates out. Now, on the strategy of accumulation of assets, just because you're not working now doesn't mean you can't buy something now. We have properties which are SDAs in Melbourne and Sydney, Debbie, which are 2-3 years off the mark, which allows someone like Paul here to get a deposit bond or bank guarantee for 10% value. So let's say an apartment in Melbourne CBD was $900,000. He could easily get a $90,000 bank guarantee against his equity to put down as a deposit for an apartment or two. Easy. So no cash down, just a bank guarantee. A piece of paper that says, we, the bank, hereby guarantee $90,000 in value to you, Mr. Developer, from our client, Paul. Very simple process there. So, Debbie, we have plenty of stock coming out of the ground in the next 2 and 3 years in Melbourne, like Footscray, Maribyrnong, Mickleham, Cheltenham, Spotswood. We also have stuff coming out of the ground in the coming 2-3 years in, 45 units of SDA in one complex of 400. Gofields as well. We also have stock now, which is ready now in January in Marylands and St. Mary's, which is built now, but I don't know whether... Paul wants something now. He has the equity there. I'm sure his lender, his bank, would be okay with lending him $800,000-$900,000 in full loan against his existing equity to buy one of these Marylands and Marys. So, Paul, talk to your lender. Would they lend you $900,000 now to add on, top up your existing mortgage facility that you have? Because if so, you can get one now built by January 24, ready to go now. Otherwise, if you're not ready, you can always do a bank guarantee to buy one or two off the plans, okay? No matter where it is, but it has to be an apartment. It can't be a house on land. House on land needs drawdown of funds now, so no go there.
So are you recommending that Paul maybe start with a couple of apartments and then once his financial situation has changed by the time he's sold his house and he has more cash, then he can start looking at house and land?
Yes and no. Right now, I'm not saying what I'm saying to sell Paul a property, no. I'm just giving him the big picture, Debbie. Big picture, what's possible. So what has to be done first is the structure of his current personal financial position right now, and also superannuation details. Clear out that stuff first. Secondly, talk to his lender whether he's able to borrow in his current equity, even though it doesn't work, right, to get equity released. And I think the answer would be no, probably not. You have no way to service it. But if they understand the SDA income side of things, it will be serviced quite well with roughly 100 or 90 to 100 grand gross income from one tenant in an SDA unit in Parramatta here that we have access to sale as well. So it's possible there. Possible is the key word. But even still, worst case scenario is he buys something in 2 years' time in 2025 once he sells down his house, to settle immediately or settle a year later after that. So I'm only giving all these ideas, Debbie, to set up his tax efficient, to be efficient, what's the word? His structures correctly, his ability to settle on future properties, given his cash surplus funds post-settlement of his sale of his house and post-setup of his SMSF structures, undeducted contributions go in, to improve his balance in super, to allow him to dispose of his long-term SDA properties in the next 10 years at a tax-free exit strategy in the future. Because if we were to sell his SDAs in 10, 15 years' time in the future, he'll be hit with CGT in his personal name in retirement age. He needs to do it inside superannuation. That's the best place to be, all right? So there's my answer. There's my advice. He can then go away now to his accountant and talked about his accountant about these ideas. What are your thoughts, Debbie, about what I just said there?
I think that is really good advice. I kind of got from the impression from our conversation that Paul didn't really perceive super to be an option.
Paul, you need to use super as your main play.
Well, he certainly wasn't thinking about that as...
I'm thinking about tax here. Tax protection, meaning minimizing your tax liabilities in the future and when you exit the sale, exit the asset, but also on an ongoing basis. If you have one SDA property to your name, you're paying 45% tax rate. 20%, 30%, 42%, 45%. So your incremental tax liabilities go higher as your income is increased. So if you're holding an asset like an SDA property, which is paying you $190,000 a year from one property here, I'm talking one property, you're paying between 40 and 45% tax. Call it 42%. You're holding two or three properties. That's 150 net per year. That's 450, almost $500,000 a year cash flow into your household, and you're paying 45% in tax. Half gone to tax man. Now, we all have to pay tax, I know that, but you have an option here to set up your structure in a tax-efficient efficient manner. And superannuation, SMSF, is the way to go. But you're limited because you have, the rules are contributions being undeducted contributions where you don't claim tax deductions are limited each year. So I think it's $150,000 per person. Yeah. But you do, there should be an ability to do a larger lump sum close towards retirement, like $500,000, I think, if you sell your a big asset like a home. But again, I don't know those rules anymore. They're old in my mind. But you can talk to your accountant and your financial advisor about that. But for now, buying a house now is easy because he's got $700,000 cash. $730,000. Yep. Buy a house right now if he wants to. That's number one. Number two, he can use some of that cash if he's cash super to do a 10% deposit for an apartment off the plan. One, right? He may want to do a bank guarantee or bank deposit bond against his equity of his house to do a deposit on a one or two units. We also have Debbie, one of our charities that does those one-part contracts on houses as well, SMSF, or one-part contracts for house selling packages in SDA, where all you pay is 25% deposit and they'll do the rest. It'll be ready in a year's time. So 25% deposit of $1 million is $250,000, which you have there.
We've also got a few builders that are working with land that they own that they can also do one-part contracts. So yeah, there's a few options there.
Also, Paul, we actually have five villas, townhouse villas in Orange Square, the suburb next door inside Bendigo. They're $725,000, I think, or $750,000. They're 10% deposit, which is $75,000. So which he has the money there to do one of those. And they'll be ready at the end of 24, 12 months from now. So he can do one of those with his $738,000 cash right there.
Mm. We also have some houses in Perth that are also single contract, 10% down, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm. The Gosnells.
Yes, yes, yes.
FA Homes.
So, Paul, just again, just listen to what I've just said here today. Me and Debbie, talk to Debbie and myself over Christmas. We'll be around. Well, Debbie's overseas in Las Vegas and New York. I'll be around in Sydney and Brisbane. I wonder where Paul is. Is Paul in Sydney? Where is he?
I think Paul is in New South Wales.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be in Sydney for a few days at the end, or in the middle of around the 20th of December.
Yeah. But I do remember, Paul, you also mentioning that due to certain family situations, you might not be looking at doing anything just yet. So keeping that in mind, and if you do wish to just put a hold on doing anything short term, which was the kind of impression I got. You know, certainly, as Min has suggested, speak to your financial advisor or your accountant on the potential of beefing up your super so you can do something.
I haven't spoken to Paul. I don't know his family story. I don't know his real situation. So I'm just giving ideas here out of thin air and I'm just winging it at the moment. But I hope that our advice today on this podcast does give our listeners who may be in the same boat as Paul, who says, oh, I don't have any money right now. I have equity. I'm cash flow poor, income poor, but equity rich. There are many ways to skin a cat, as the old saying goes. And I've just shown you just right now, right there, that we were giving ideas to Paul that were different from the norm, which he may not have realized. And hopefully that this information has given Paul and our listeners a bit of insight as to the other ways in which you can look at proceeding with SDA as a product to invest in for your long-term financial security, using time frames and different structures to execute the transaction to your benefit. So that's all I have to say there. Debbie?
Yeah, yeah. And look, you've covered it really well, Min. Hopefully some new ideas for Paul to consider.
As always, it's time in the market, not the timing of the market. That's an old saying in the financial services sector, even though Paul's trying to time the exit of his house.
Well, if you can do both, then you're winning.
And also, Paul, the downside of waiting 2 years is you're coming into the SDA market at a higher price as well. Okay, so bear that in mind.
Yeah. And well, the way we've seen prices go in the last 2 years has been ridiculous. So I'm hoping they don't go up anywhere near that much over the next 2 years. But also, we're going to be looking at a market that is starting to get well supplied and those gaps are going to be drying up.
Mm. So if it's a time to secure something, do it now with a deposit of 10%, securing at the right price now, because in 2 years' time, you will say, I wish I secured it at the prices from 2 years ago. And everyone says that all the time. Because I tell you right now, Debbie, 2 years ago, the price of house and land for SDA was $700,000, $650,000.
Yep.
Now they're $850,000, $900,000.
Mm-hmm.
It is always going up. And SDA, I don't think we're going to see a correction because because the income for SDA is always CPI linked. And the 5-year price review is in 4.5 years' time. So in by the time that Paul's ready to come into the market, he'll be 2.5 years into the 5-year price review timeframes from July 23 to July 28. He'll be coming in at 25, just halfway through. So that will also have an impact as well. So get in early, Paul, if you can. At least one, if not two, but you definitely have the ability to do two here. One is a bank guarantee outside super and also one inside super in cash, 100%. Okay. I'm done. Thank you very much, Debbie. Any final words of advice from you, Debbie, to Paul?
No, look, Paul, just, you know, any more queries you've got at all, please let us know.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.